Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. The title for our show is What is Life to a Person versus of Faith versus Nonbelievers? We want to welcome you to our show this week. In looking at life, we have all heard the question, why am I here? Ask yourself this question right now. No, really, ask yourself, why am I here? Do yourself a favor. Get a pen and paper and write this question down. Then write down why you think you're here. Do you think you are a mistake? Do you think it is just by chance? If you are a listener of our show, I pray that you have many ideas on why you're here. While Bill was listening to the news, thinking about current events and life experience, he has noticed that when it rains on everybody in that area that doesn't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. When it's cold outside, there is no special warm airflow for those that didn't wear enough clothes when they left their home. When he looked at the obituaries in the paper, he noticed that age is not a protection for your name not to be there. It doesn't matter how much money you have and or what race you are. He noticed that there is no separation for people of faith versus those that are non-believers. This is all a little dark and deep, so we're going to share with you a new music release that speaks volumes about why we are all here. It will put a smile on your face, and tonight we're also going to look at life from different angles. Have you noticed that when you start to look at your life, why you immediately start to judge others? Is it fair to hold past mistakes against people? I can tell you that Wild Bill is a better man today than he was than he was 20 years ago. Of course, he is a slow learner. Well, we will also have Blog Talk Mom on the show tonight if she can get her smartphone to work. With that said, let's see what Wild Bill has for us tonight.
Well, hello, Starla. Well, hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out here in Blog Talk Radio Land. As Starla has shared with you, we're going to be looking at life from several different directions, hopefully to get some people some questions, some things, and think outside the box. We talk about that a lot. Going to share with you a humorous music release. Also, going to share with you a little sermon on judging. If Blog Talk Mom can get her smartphone to work this week, I have something I want to ask her to share with us regarding something that she shared with me just the other day about a scripture where it talks about we can bind and loose. You know, many things in life, especially when we look at God's Word, we judge it about how it affects us, what we want from it. Is it something that is going to add to us that we want, or is it something that's going to take away? We have a tendency to like scriptures that talk about blessings for us, not like scriptures that talk about accountability. But one of the things that I had someone share with me one time in studying God's Word, you need to look at it as to how a scripture, what it says about you, what it says about God, what it says about others, what it says about your relationship with God, what it says about His relationship with you. And also, especially after talking this thing about Blog Talk Mom, we need to be aware of what it says about our enemy and his relationship that he wants to have with us, his relationship that he has to do with the things that's going on around us. Because if we leave that aspect out of it, we're really doing ourselves a disservice. Because in judging as to how something applies to you, if you forget that you have an enemy who's constantly there, and he's going to be pulling things the opposite direction in your life, you can look at something to see where you're going. It's funny, I got this from a little thing with a kids movie the other day where it said, when you chop down a tree, which way does it go? And the guy made a statement in response, well, it falls down. But he said, no, it falls the way that it's leaning. And so you need to be very careful as to what direction you are leaning, because that is the way you can fall. And I thought, wow, there's so much depth to that when you get to looking at these things. I also want to just take a moment to mention that Starla's dad passed away this last weekend. Charles Chuck Haddix was born June 6, 1931, and he passed away January the 24th, 2014. We shared with you about how that and there was a gap of time where he was absent from his daughter or his family's life, and how that just recently how God opened doors for him to come back and be part of it again. And so we just want to take a moment and to acknowledge that some information. He had 8 children, 15 grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. One of the things that I thought would be of interest to you here is that he was a man who served in the United States military. He had several rewards. He retired with an honorable discharge as a Master Sergeant E-8. But the thing that really stood out and spoke to me was that he served one tour of combat in Korea and 2 combat tours in Vietnam. That right there says a lot about this man's life. And he had a song that was one of his favorite songs that spoke of his patriotism. And so we want to take a moment and share that with you.
We all know our flag is much more than just a piece of cloth. And here to remind us of that is an American legend. Go with us now to Branson's Wayne Newton Theater for a very special performance from the man.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud. proud of that ragged old flag.
Well, I hope that song spoke to your heart as much as it did mine. As I shared with you, Starla's dad passed away. That was one of his favorite songs. And this at his memorial service this weekend, I had someone approach me, and they said, I noticed that you were crying during the service, and I didn't think that you knew Starla's dad that well. And I felt like it, what they were implying was I doing this for show? That may not have been what their intent was at all. And so I stopped for a second, and I thought, and just internalized, you know, because I do realize that things in life have more to do with what we feel as we judge things compared to what other people feel. And it became very clear to me just in an instant. First, my children were in the room. That was her grandfather. My wife was there. That was her dad. Starla's stepmother was there. That was her husband. I saw people that I care about in just grief as they were going through this process, as we were having the memorial service for Grandpa and Dad, and I was hurting for these people. But then I went on, I was trying to figure out, why was I hurting in such a depth for them? Because I'm old enough and smart enough to realize there's not anything I can say, there's not anything I can do to ease the suffering. In one sense, it's easier to go through personal grief and personal pain than it is to see people you love and care about going through things like this, because you deep down you know there's not anything that you can do to fix it or make it better. It's just a part of the process of what we have to go through. But then I went on to realize that what was added to this was when they played this song at the memorial service, Johnny Cash was one of my dad's favorite singers, and my dad is no longer with us. And I realized that the pain of them losing their dad, and I saw them hurting, I was reminded of my loss with my dad no longer being here. And then I got to thinking about my mother-in-law was no longer here, and my grandparents that are no longer here, and all that grief for all these people that are no longer part of my life was added to all this. And it just, the weight of it during that memorial service, in some ways after it was a healing, but during that process my heart was so broke that it's hard to put into words. And so as we look at life and we try to answer the questions, why am I here and who am I, you know, we have to take stock to understand that a lot of things weigh on us. When I was sharing before,
we all know our flag is much more than just a piece of cloth. And here to remind us of that is an American legend. Go with us now to Branson's Wayne Newton Theater for a very special performance from the man.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there.
Sorry about that, folks. We're having some technical difficulties tonight. I don't know why this is jumping from one thing to another going back. Apologize for that. But anyway, we want to go into our next segment here. And what we want to do is, when I was talking to a Blog Talk mom, she was sharing with me something that really spoke to my heart on the issues we were talking about regarding you know, the life and trying to understand how to get a balance of things. I was looking at how with Scripture sometimes how we look at it one way or the other and take things out of balance. So if a Blog Talk mom is out there and she can hear us, I asked her if she would to share with us, if she would, just a moment, a little bit about the Scripture that we were talking about, where we talk about where we can bind and loose, and how we can get things out of balance. So, Blog Talk Mom, are you able to communicate with us tonight?
Well, I hope I am. I was talking at the storm last time.
I can hear you just fine. Well, don't feel bad. I don't know what it is, but that song, it wants to be heard again. It just turned itself on all of a sudden. I'm like, well, that was interesting. Yeah. I was looking away at something else, and it just came on. So if you wouldn't mind, you know, just sharing a little bit about what you were sharing with me on that, and I think our listeners would really enjoy it.
Well, I would love to. It's meant quite a bit to me, or a lot to me, and I do send my love to Sister Stahl on her loss. And for what the family has been through, and that God would bless you. And I continually practice what I'm going to share with you with Starla in mind due to the circumstances. But there is a scripture, and I believe it's Matthew 16:19, and Jesus said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And most of, I guess, 100% of my thinking on this particular scripture was formed because of the situation in the book of Daniel, where Daniel had been on the fast for 21 days, and for that 21 days, when the angel came to him, he said he heard the prayer, but it was the Prince of Persia, I didn't write that down, that had withstood him receiving the answer. You know, it was a spiritual warfare in the heavens. And so then Jesus is telling us that we have the binding and loosing power. And that's good. But I've done it. I've been obedient to it. I felt like I have had situations where I could take authority over the attack of the enemy and over what process I was in that the enemy may have been trying to hinder. But this week I was reading a book and I was just glancing through it. I didn't even know I owned it. It's called Shattering Your Strongholds. The lady that wrote it is called Liberty, S-A-V-A-R-D, Savard. I'm not sure about that pronunciation. And I just opened it up to the middle and it was talking about binding. And she had an experience with the Lord where she saw this, and it's fuzzy to me to try to share it with someone at this point. But she said, if you where Jesus said that he came to bind up the brokenhearted, that the binding, the healing, the loving, the caring, and then in another place he said, greater things than this year you do. You know, we have power, binding and loosing. And her illustration was, if you took a little baby, and like they did, I think, in the 60s, it was quite common, especially people that worked in fields, they would bind that baby up with beautiful, you know, with soft, nice cloth, and they would bind it to the mother, and sometimes the mother would go out into the field or whatever. The baby was close and bound up to that caregiver. And it was protected, even though it had a will of its own, it had a mind of its own, it was a complete personality, person that it was bound to, it was bound up and connected to, went forward. If it was a pleasant experience, you know, it went along, it was bound together. And the Lord showed me, as I was reading this, that he wanted me to move into a place of not just, you know, we want to bind habits and we want to bind so many things. But in doing that, there's several things in our warfare we always have to consider. There's the world. You know, do we bind the world or do we come out of the world? The flesh. Do we bind the flesh or do we, you know, fast and deny the flesh its way? And in Satan, he comes in to confuse us and to do, you know, he's the master of confusion and lies and snares and whatever. But the most effective thing I believe I've ever felt was when it was like I was taking each of you, each of my family, each of you that I love, taking time to wrap you up in my love and my caring, and in the power of the Holy Ghost lifting you up to the one that died for you, the one that, in partnership with him, I brought you up. Sometimes I would lay you on his shoulders, the stripes that was for your healing. And my faith was just, it was like it melted. You know, where Jesus, there was a scripture where, Christ, you know, God in him and him in us, the flow of the Spirit of God, it was, and what it did, and this lady mentions in the book what it did for her, it's a very settling thing. If I'm unsure when I go into a traffic situation, for instance, I'm really unsure of where I should go. And just simply, I push the OnStar, and it tells me that I've left the planned route or I need to turn right a half a mile down the road. That's very comforting to me. They don't always tell me what I want to hear, but it's very comforting. But how much more the creator of the world, the one that gave me the entire Bible, when I go before him and I lift up someone I love and I bind their situation, if they need healing, then I go to his word, it says, by his stripes. And I just bring that loved one there and in agreement. Now, the Bible tells, there's so many scriptures where he fights for us. You know, he's got us in his hands. And there's another day, I would really like to share some of the scriptures where, you know, we sing, bind us together in love. This is a real thing that we have the authority to do in prayer, in Jesus' name. Lord, I take this person that's sick, that's struggling, and in agreement with you, Lord, if to agree, but in agreement with your word, I lift them and I wrap them, Lord, in your love, and I put them in your arms, in that nail scarred hand, on your shoulder, Lord, like John leaned upon you. And I know that immediately the connection, a simple illustration would be electricity. You've got a light bulb, you've got a switch, you pay your bill. You know, there's electricity everywhere. But when it's connected, you know, if you're cold and it's bitter and it's below freezing and you turn on that heater, it's connected. Warmth comes. When you pray that prayer in faith, then the Spirit of God automatically, it's already there. It's doing a work. And there's a calmness, a serenity. It's unbelievable the balance that you feel. When you do that, the completeness of it's just wonderful. And so I hope anyone that would be listening would just get quiet before the Lord. Take that situation. If it's financial, take that. Bind it up with the Word of God. You know, all through the Old Testament, they said that the Lord said, bind these things on your forehead, bind them on your hand, bind them on your fingers. You know, get the Word of God. Get it near and through and on and all around. And take it and wrap that situation in the Word of God. Go into His presence. Let it go before Him. And watch God move. Not according to what I'm going to bind this financial demon. I'm going to cast it to the ground. I'm losing quite fair. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm telling you, for me, it's not nearly as effective as when I went before Him and lifted Sister Starla and her pain. And I wrapped her in all the love that I could. And then I saw God take her and hold her and bring her close to Him. That is healing. That is powerful. It's including Him more in the process, as far as I'm concerned. The other is taking the authority and running to battle. And that's good. But oh, Lord, anyone that would hear this broadcast, that would have pain, that would have disappointment or discouragement, Lord, we just all together, we wrap them up in your love, Lord. We have the authority to bind. We wrap them up. We bind them up, Lord. We bind up the brokenhearted, and we bring them to you, Lord, believing in faith. We're wrapped in our faith in your word that you will move and turn and bless and heal because you are our God and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And thank you, Wild Bill. I appreciate being able to share that with those that might be listening.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. You know, the other part of that really struck home to me is that we can bind ourselves to Christ.
Amen.
We can, you know, He's wanting to bind us to Him, but, you know, it's a lot easier to carry somebody that's hanging on to you versus carrying somebody that's just like a limp dish rag or just dead weight or something, and we can actually bind ourselves to the power of God and that authority that He's given us. We talked a little bit last week about process of life and everything, and we shared a little bit what Blog Talk Mom had been doing about where she had been working on some songs, and she started off with the old children's song about building a house on the rock and the wise man, and building a house on the sand was a foolish man, and she just sort of got off into a new song tangent, and so we're going to take a moment here. And I think this is going to put a pep in your step and a smile on your face. And this is the latest part of the process of what I've gotten from Blog Talk Mom.
Now that I am 74, I just found an open door. It don't make nobody sore, it just makes them ask for more. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. More and more. More about Jesus and his word. They act like they never heard. Heard what? About Jesus. Heard what? About Jesus. Jesus was born like babies do. God in flesh, now that is true. Year by year that baby grew. God was man, now that was new. Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, that means yes. If you want me to tell the rest, tell me now if you are blessed. Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, that means yes. If you want me to tell the rest, tell me now if you are blessed. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Tell me now if you want more. Get yourself up off that floor. You can jump and you can run. Praising Jesus, have some fun. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Jesus lived and then he died. On a cross was crucified. They put a spear into his side. It is finished, Jesus cried. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Jesus lived and then he died. On a cross was crucified. They put a spear into his side. It is finished, Jesus cried. Uh-huh, uh-huh. The devil thought that he had won. Took the life of God's own son. He just thought that he was done. Just say Jesus, watch him run. Uh-huh, uh-huh. The devil thought that he had won. Took the life of God's own son. He just thought that he was done. Just say Jesus, watch him run. And watch him run. And watch him run. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Open the Bible, you will see. God has a plan for you and me. Read what it says and then agree. Ask for more and you'll be free. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Tell me now if you want more. Get yourself up off that floor. You can jump, you can run. Praise Jesus, have some fun. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Tell me now if you want more. Get yourself up off that floor. You can jump, you can run. Praise Jesus, have some fun. Uh-huh.
Jesus, I'm glad I got you. I don't know what I would do. You're my rock, my friend too. Holding my hand, I'm gonna stand, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Something done happened in my heart. I'm not foolish, now I'm smart. Praising each day right from the start. I'm gonna win. You took my sin. Cool to be so bad. Fighting and crying was what I had. Now I'm free, got the victory. Satan, well, he comes around, invites me where I once was bound. I tell him just what I found, lying with glee while he has to flee. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding his way is in his will. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding the way is in his will. Clap my hands and leap for joy. Clap my hands, leap for joy. Clap my hands and leap for joy. Cause living for Jesus, I can't stand still. No, living for Jesus, I can't stand still. Finding his way is in his will,
Oh, clap your hands, leap for joy. Clap your hands, leap for joy. Clap your hands, leap for joy.
And hear what Jesus say. He's my rock and he's the way. Lift me up from the miry clay. Plant my feet on the rock to stay. I'm wise. One day I was not too smart. Have Jesus in my heart. Then a storm tore me apart. Devil stabbed me with a fiery dart. Slipping and a sliding. Slipping and a sliding. Building on sand, yeah, that was me. The rain and the flood and the winds, all three. I was a fool, don't you agree? Stand on sand when the rock was free. I'm wise. No more slipping and sliding for me. No more slipping and sliding for me. I'm wise. I'm wise. One day I was not so smart. Didn't have Jesus in my heart. Then a storm tore me apart. The devil stabbed me with a fiery dart. But now I'm wise. I'm wise. No more slipping and sliding for me. No more slipping and sliding. I see I'm wise. Woo! I'm wise. You better hear what Jesus say. He's your rock and he's the way. Lifts you up from the miry clay. Plant your feet on a rock to stay. You'll be wise, you'll be wise,
Well, you have to admit, most people as they get older, it seems like they kind of mellow out and calm down, but not Blog Talk Mom. She blows me away. I can remember when she first got in church house. She wanted to be involved with music. She wanted to sing, and she was working in new church works, and she got her a little auto harp, started from there, and then she had a little chord organ thing, and, you know, I was about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months later, I came up, and she's singing in church and playing a piano. I'm like, what in the world? I've never seen someone so committed to the process on things when it comes to living for God. I want to go on right on in here to the message that we got. This looks at a little bit about finding balance, trying to figure out things in life, but I never have figured out why it is when someone tries to push things in your direction that you see things about yourself and immediately you want to start judging others. Even when you do it to yourself, you, I find it within myself, I look at other people and say, well, they're doing this, so it must be okay. I want to use them for my measuring stick to justify the things that I don't want to do that God tells me to do. That Riley dividing the word, it doesn't mean that you can say, okay, I want the blessings, I want the good stuff, but I don't want the things here that makes me accountable, responsible, or means I got to change. It doesn't quite work that way. So I hope you enjoy this, and be sure and stay with us at the end. We're going to open up mics for anyone that has any comments, and I hope we hear from Blog Talk Mom again.
I'm going to get started with something kind of funny today, as I usually do. Archie and Jack argued for years whether Jesus was black or white. Archie was certain Jesus was white, but Jack was just as certain he was black. As fate would have it, they both died on the same day and raced to the pearly gates to see who was right. St. Peter, they shouted, is Jesus white or black? About that time, Jesus walked up and said, Buenos dias. All right, hold up your Bibles and say it like you mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless y'all. Y'all sound great. We've been talking about the power of words and how important it is that we be extremely careful what we allow to come out of our mouths. Words have creative power, and your words have the ability to build people up or to tear people down, to encourage or to discourage, to heal or to hurt. And unfortunately, many people are using their words for negative, destructive purposes. Gossip and slander and backbiting are all prevalent in our society today. People don't think a thing in the world about spreading hurtful rumors and repeating things that they know are only half true. They talk behind each other's back. They're negative and critical and judgmental. There's so much evil speaking going on toward one another. But what we don't always realize is when we allow the enemy to deceive us into saying hurtful, critical things toward people, we are in actuality poisoning our own future. Sometimes we think we're just harming the person we're talking about, but in reality, we are doing much more damage to our own lives. And the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, if you really want to enjoy life and see good days, you must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Notice, if you really want to enjoy life, you got to take control of your tongue and refuse to speak evil about anybody. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible lists 7 things that God really hates. And it's interesting because 3 of those 7 things have to do with what we say. In verse 17, it says God hates a lying tongue. Verse 19 says God hates a false witness. and a person who sows discord among the brethren. How do you sow discord? By going around gossiping, talking about people, being critical, judgmental, stirring up all kinds of trouble. It doesn't say God dislikes that and disappoints him a little bit. No, the Bible says God hates the sins of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up, so that it may benefit those that listen." God wants us to say things that only build people up, things that only benefit those that listen. And if what you're saying is not lifting somebody's spirits, if you're not elevating somebody, if you're not causing them to be seen in a better light, then you shouldn't say that at all. We should only use our words to make people feel better about themselves, not worse. We should speak words that challenge people to reach for new heights and challenge them to press on for greater things. Never use your words to discourage and condemn and cause people to want to give up. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue will crush the spirit." Notice, you have a choice. You can go around speaking words of life and health and healing toward people, and in doing so, you are planting seeds of victory for your own life. Or you can choose to go around saying hurtful, critical things toward people. And God says when you do that, it will crush your spirit. It will keep you in defeat and not allow you to experience God's best. We've got to realize we are going to reap exactly what we sow. If you're always hard and critical and judgmental toward people, then you might as well get ready, because people are going to be hard and critical and judgmental toward you. We've got to give people a little bit of room. Give people a little bit of slack. And we've got to understand, just because we may have a strength in a certain area and another person has a weakness in that same area, that doesn't give us the right to criticize them and look down on them and make them feel bad about themselves. Victoria's got a whole lot of strengths that I don't have, and I have strengths that she doesn't have. I'm a very detailed and organized person. When I get something out, I'm real good about putting it right back where it belongs so I can get it the next time. But you know, that is not one of Victoria's greatest strengths. I am very routine. She's very creative. She likes diversity. She's more free-flowing than I am. She likes to do things differently. So one day she'll come in from the garage and she'll put her keys on the kitchen cabinet. The next day she'll put her keys in the purse. The next day she'll put her keys in the back bedroom. Next day she'll leave the keys in the car. There's no telling where those keys are going to end up. And that used to frustrate me to no end, because we use the same set of keys for the cars. And sometimes I'd want to run up to the gym and just work out real quickly, but I couldn't find the car keys. So I had to go find Victoria. "Where's the car keys?" She said, "Well, I think they're in the kitchen, or maybe they're in the utility room, or they might be by the phone. They're not there. I probably left them up in the treehouse." Listen, by that time, I didn't need to go work out. But I'd say, "Victoria, if you just be more organized, put those keys back in the same place every time, I wouldn't have to be wasting all this time." You know what I was really saying? Why aren't you just like me? Why don't you have my same strengths? But one day God began to deal with me, and he told me to quit criticizing her and judging her just because she might have a weakness in an area where I have a strength. And see, we've got to all realize, especially as husbands and wives, that God made us all differently on purpose. Like I said, Victoria's got a whole lot of strengths that I don't have. I can't think of any right now, but I know she does. I can wake y'all up today. I'm not going to look at her, though. But if we're not careful, instead of thanking God for the strengths and the gifts that he's given us, We'll just take them for granted, and then we'll start to look down on other people and criticize them because they don't do things exactly like we do. But we must remember, if it were not for the grace of God, none of us would have any strength. And so we've got to learn how to show mercy on people's weaknesses. We should never be hard and impatient on people that don't learn as fast as we do. We should never be condemning and judgmental to people that struggle in an area where we don't have any difficulty. Well, you say, Joel, I had the same addiction that guy has, and I got over mine in 2 weeks, but look at him, he's been gone for 3 years. Well, big deal. You should thank God for His mercy and pray for that man instead of judging him and condemning him. If it weren't for the mercy of God, you'd still be struggling right now as well. And God never called us to be judges. He called us to show His mercy. As long as you go around pointing out everybody's faults and judging and condemning and being critical, you'll never reach your highest potential in life. We've got to be very careful of the sins of the mouth. Gossip, backbiting, slander, always pointing out people's faults, those are all rooted in having a judgmental attitude. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, "Judge not, so that you won't be judged. For with the measure you deal out to others, the same measure will be dealt back to you." This is what the psalmist David did. He was called a man after God's own heart. What kind of attitude did he have? How did he get up each morning? He said in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." One translation says, "God's kindness chases me everywhere that I go." David lived with this expectancy. He knew God was full of surprises. He didn't go around thinking, "This is going to be a lousy day. Goliath is so stinking big, I'm never going to defeat him. I'm never going to get out of this problem." No, his attitude was, "Something good is going to happen to me. Everywhere I go, I know God's blessings are chasing me. Favor is following me around." No wonder he saw God's goodness. No wonder he overcame his obstacles and accomplished great dreams. He knew good things were chasing after him. Do you know what's chasing you right now? Not debt, not failure, not mediocrity, not defeat, not lack, not at all. You are a child of the Most High God. You have been crowned with favor. You have been redeemed from every curse. God has set you apart as His own special treasure. And when you look back in your rear view mirror, you better get ready. You've got a tailgater. There's something coming toward you at a high rate of speed. You know what it is? Blessings, favor, supernatural opportunities, restoration, divine connections. God is about to surprise you with His goodness. Well, you say, "Joel, you're just getting everybody's hopes up. I don't believe this is really going to happen for me." Then this is not for you. This is for believers. This is for people that let the seed take root. This is for people that know God is a good God, and He takes pleasure when we succeed. Just as I loved seeing my children's faces brighten up when I surprised them, God loves bringing a smile to your face. It gives Him great.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that little clip so I kind of put together from a couple of messages. And I tell you what, that guy, I bet he was probably in trouble when he got home that afternoon. But it's real clear that we need to be careful what we say. When we're trying to work out things in life and figure out things about ourselves, we don't need to put other people down and make ourselves bigger and understand how God looks at that. I wanted to see if Blog Talk Mom had any comments here. I think I surprised her. I don't think she was expecting me to be playing all of her new clips today.
I appreciate it. I certainly didn't expect it. My drawer belt was talking about it. I've never had any more fun in my life than I've had with them. So I feel like the Lord gave it to me. I've already seen really positive results with it in the area that I'm working right now, so as you and I spoke about. I love that lesson that was just taught. That was you started off with a really funny story. That was so funny.
I could almost see Jesus having a sense of humor when he did that, saying, you know, I'm going to show both these guys, you know, just, but really he is something else in the way he does that each and every week. It's, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize, and I don't know if we really shared this on the show, the reason this all started is because Blog Talk Mom is doing a ministry with inner city kids. And so this is what God gave her, this breaking down barriers and transcending barriers to help her reach the audience that she's speaking to. So it's not like she's going to her home church and all of a sudden they asked her to sing a special and all of a sudden she's like, This is, that's not what happened. So we just want people to understand, you know, where this is coming from. But I still was just so amazed at the process. And I was thinking when he was talking about that thing where other people say things to make you feel bad. I got a guy I work with. I really love and appreciate this guy, but I also hate him at the same time sometimes, and I tease him about that because we'll go over to his church or he'll come to mine, and he's a drummer. Now, I play drums, but he's a drummer, and he can rip off his stuff for about 10 minutes, and then, I mean, he's got pieces of drumsticks flying. He's hit every drum on there 500 times faster than I could ever hit one. And then he's like, it's your turn, you know, and you're like, well, yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that, you know. I want you to know I love you, and I hate you at the same time. But seriously, it's that whole thing and how we look at things, we need to be careful. Because I know it deep down he's not really doing that to make me feel small. At least I hope he's not. No, I don't think he is. Because he's always tried to be encouraging. He tells me that he went through some of the same things. I think it's kind of like if you had three brothers, he had a teacher that sort of did that to him a little bit, and now I've come along back behind, so he's just doing some of the same things to me, so that now he's the teacher, and, you know, he's Obi-Wan, and I'm Luke Skywalker there. He's like, he's okay, pay attention here, Obi-Wan, you know. But anyway, it's I really get tickled at some of the things. Did you have any other comments about the message or anything tonight? I sort of went and scattered this out because we covered this from a lot of different angles, and I just really felt to do that, just to, you know, not make it a focused on one thing show, lighten it up a little bit. And but was there anything else you wanted to share, Blog Talk Mom, or anybody else? Just push one on your phone, then we'd be glad. We'll identify you by the last four numbers, last four digits of your phone number. So, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share those songs. And of the situation that I was in, I was to teach. That's a new work. It's inner city work. They've called it the healing place. And I knew the Lord wanted me to teach on the wise man and the foolish man. And I had my PowerPoint, and I had several things together. And so I started working on the song, the wise man built his house on the rock. And somehow, but I had worked on it for 3 hours that morning. And then all of a sudden, it just started playing in my head, the rap, and I was just amazed. And then I went by a friend's house who has a synthesizer, and I said, can you help me get something with this? She walked straight over there and got the first one. And then she said, there's a man right next door that's starting to open a studio, just starting out in this area. And I went over there, and he had been a worker in the inner city work that I was starting in. And he said, sure, I'll help you. And here I am. I've got the music and, you know, you just see. And actually, it was at that time that I put this thing in where I went to God with it. If we seek his, I will say this again, his wisdom, his integrity, his expertise. I mean, I've done it a few times when I just could not find something, and I just stopped. And I said, Lord, I have no idea where that receipt is. I'm just going to wait. You know exactly where it is. And almost instantly, God will make me remember where I was when I filed it, what area, you know. And that doesn't happen all the time, but it happens, I would say, 80% of the time when I'm at the end of my rope, so to speak, as Brother Shuey used to say, I tie a knot in it. And hang on, and God comes to the rescue. And so with this one, the song, when I went out there, they asked me to stand up. It was a large, you know, not a, it's a large room, like a storefront. And when they announced me, you know, here I am, 74, gray-headed. I didn't look like I was going to really come across with anything that they were interested in. So very nicely, as I was talking, they got up and walked in up, the ones I was supposed to be there with. And then as soon as that first beat of the music started, their heads popped back in. They came in, and we had church. I mean, God mildly moved. One of them walked up, one wanted to know what my rapping name was. I thought that was real cute. So I'm saying all things work together for good. We cannot judge another person's walk. We cannot, and God wants to. It's His advice. You know, don't do that. Don't try to do that, because as you, your message said, it's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah.
It'll all come back and hurt you, or, you know, ourselves when we do that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things I was going to share with everybody, I don't know if you'll appreciate very much, but there was a time when Blog Talk Mom would kind of say that rap music was just of the devil. She didn't believe that had any place in gospel music. One of her friends as a minister used to, I mean, she was just really hard on it. I mean, she just, man, you wanted to make her veins pop out in her face and neck. You just had to say something about rap music in church. Man, you didn't started something. But it's funny how God, He's like, okay, I'm going to bring you full circle here. And I found out with a lot of things in my life, I ain't ever going to do that. I don't believe that. That's not going to happen. And all of a sudden, I look back at some of those things I've done later, and I'm like, wow, you know, I wish I'd just kept my mouth shut. It would have been a lot simpler. But it's all part of process, isn't it? You never complete the process. It's always going to go on as long as we're alive.
Well, I think Joy Bell, your sister, my daughter, I hope she's listening. I think she is. She really has promoted and got us all into this program. And she brought out a point that has, I've applied it in many areas. Anything can amplify whatever we are. If we're good, if we're glorifying God, anything, any media, any song, anything that we use that area for can amplify that. If we're going to cuss and scream and all of that, then, you know, we can do that with any beat of the music. You know, it's just, we shouldn't be so quick to judge. One minister I heard today said, some things in any area, like if I look at this generation music, I may, what I think I mentioned it to you, I may listen, I may like it, then I may tolerate it if I don't really like it, and then I might really dislike it. But at the same time, it's right in your eyes. So I don't have the right to judge that, because it works both ways. You know, you can look at something like what I've just done, and I have. I was at the beauty shop, and these ladies, you know, they could hear because the thing's next door, the studio, and one of them looked at the other one, because I'm under the dryer, and she turned up her nose, like sort of rolled her eyes, and I said, of course, I'm under the dryer, and I said, roll your eyes, turn up your nose. You don't know what Jesus grows. I don't know about it. But anyway, they turned around real quick and whatever. But as my daughter said, if everything, you might be a rapper, if everything you said rhymes, and it has lately. I love my kids.
That's funny. It's Blog Talk Mom has always been able to work with kids from way back when I was a little kid. I can remember with her Humazoos and flannel graph and all the things that she used to do, and I just really appreciate the example of what she's shown and, you know, going out there and doing these things. I tell people sometimes if they want to do a commercial for the Energizer battery, that'll follow her around all day. And she's like, well, I guess I got to slow down today. It snowed in Mississippi, so I'm taking that as a snow day not to get out. I'm like, wow, you know, it's just cold here, and I decided I wasn't getting out today, you know, but it's you amaze me, Blog Talk Mom, with some of those things that you do and say, and your dedication to going out there and answering a call. You know, it's like it's real easy to judge things based on how things communicate to you. But you have to realize everybody doesn't speak the same language. Everybody doesn't come from the same background. You know, I know some of the street talk slang, some people will come up to me and I don't have a clue what they're saying. You know, I just don't know. But when you got something that's going to reach out to a certain audience, that's who it's for. And I've always, Coca-Cola used to have this thing years ago where they were the real thing and they had this song. And I've always pictured in my mind when it came to music that everything the world had was the counterfeit to the things of God that he established for people to be able to use to worship him. And so I never, in my mind, of course, it was really funny. I can remember years ago when the Rambos and groups like that were coming out, and people were like, oh, I don't know about that new sound with gospel music, because they were having their old bluegrass, you know, country sound gospel, and they're like, I'm not too sure about this and everything. And I was watching that then, looking at that age group going up. Of course, now we have contemporary gospel, which is taking it to a whole nother level. And I have to admit, some of that I like more than I like others. Some of them, the message is more powerful than it is in others, and some of it seems to be more about the singer than it does has anything to do about God. But that's the sort of way to judge things, not judge it on what's this thing about, you know, the type of guitar riff it has in it, or drum beat, or if they crank up the bass really loud or something like that. If the lyrics have a message and they're touching people. I will never forget when Carmen came to Nashville and they were taking volunteers to work in their altar area. They were saying, hey, I don't want you to push any denominational faith, anything like that. What we're doing here is we're lifting up Jesus. And Jesus said, if you lift him up, all men will be drawn to me. And that was his message and that was his focus. Because he didn't want people to put up barriers and walls, something that might knock down someone before they ever get started and trample them, so that they're like, well, hey, I don't want none of this. You know, these people are worse than where I come from. I don't feel safe here. I'm already abused, and all I did was feel a stirring in my heart and came to an altar. And I think sometimes it's just so easy for us to do that. And so I really do appreciate Blog Talk Mom and what she's doing here. I think we probably ran over this a little bit, but if anybody else has a comment or question or anything they'd like to add, just push one. Going once, going twice. Okay, did you have anything you wanted to say before we close, Blog Talk Mom?
Just thank you very, very much for your dedication and for the program. It's the highlight of my week. As you know, I tell everybody that. And sorry about last week, but I'd ask everyone, if they will, to keep us in prayer. Great things are happening. We're baptizing people in Jesus' name almost every service. And I mean, God's doing a work, and it's magnificent. I pray with all my heart.
Well, we really appreciate what you're doing there, and I just want to say to everyone that we appreciate you listening to this show. I was looking at our listens per week. It started to really go on the upswing again. Most of it is from people in the archives, but I want you to know we really appreciate you taking your time to listen to our message. Also, we're taking requests. If you got a topic you'd like to have discussed, or if you have a prayer request, or if you have a speaker you'd like to, if you are a speaker and you'd like to be on our show, just send us a message either through Facebook on our Facebook page or here on the Blog Talk page, which has our email on it, and we'd be glad to get back with you. So I pray God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for everyone that's prayed for my family during this time of loss with my wife. As you can guess, it's been very trying for her. But she's doing well, and I know it's just the grace of God that things are working out like they have. So God bless each and every one of you. Y'all have a good night.